Summertime in Compton. Well, we're about to have a conversation that when I got to notice this email the other day from Megan Hamilton, she said, oh, you know, we're having the Holmes brothers come play at Creative Alliance. I said, who? What? And so it was no question in my mind. I said, yes, immediately. And then she said, and you know that one of the Holmes brothers, Wendell Holmes, actually lives in the Baltimore area. I said, what? Well, he's here in the studio now. Wendell Holmes, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Marcus. My pleasure to be here. Absolutely.
I was really shocked to learn that you lived here.
Well, you know, got to live somewhere, and I love Baltimore County. I live in Rosedale.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a good spot. It's a good spot. Mm-hmm. So for the folks who don't know, many of you do, the Holmes brothers are an amazing, how to describe, blues, gospel, soul group that have been together since 1963. Through many transformations, they've come. And it really is. I mean, you can hear in your sound the roots of the church.
Absolutely.
Or deep into it.
Well, we grew up in the church in a place called Christ Church, Virginia, back in the 50s, late 40s and 50s. And we started playing a small community, and we couldn't play much, but most people couldn't play anything, so we were like big fish in a little pond. And then on Saturdays, we had a cousin that had a juke joint, and Saturday nights, when he couldn't get the good bands, he would get his cousins. So we kind of honed our craft. Yeah, that was us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the connection between, I mean, did you play in church as well?
Yes.
On Sunday morning, right? So Saturday night, you play in the juke joint, Sunday morning in the church?
We say we rock them on Saturday and save them on Sunday.
That's it. So, but I think that this is an interesting piece, because this is the connection between the church and blues and that whole period when people said, "Don't you dare sing the blues! You're in church, right?" But they're connected. They're twins.
They're twins. You know, a lot of people say that the only difference is the words. Music is the same, but I myself, I'm a believer in Jesus. So when I do my gospel music, it's different than doing the blues. But they all are combined and they come together.
When you say it's different than the blues, it's different for you singing it, different for you inside, different how?
It's different for me inside. Inside, it's different. Because, you know, I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and two shots across the bow will change you.
Yes, it will.
So I now realize what's important and what's not important. So it's very important when I do gospel music to do songs that are meaningful.
But your albums often mix the two.
We mix the two, we don't have a problem with it. Some people might think that we would have a problem playing the blues and playing gospel. We have no problem with that at all, because we want people to know that we are down-to-earth people, even though we are believers. And so the word must go out everywhere, you know.
That's true. But I, for those of you who have not been initiated into the Holmes brothers, let me play a piece of this for you right now. Let's play My Word Is My Bond. And
all right.
Just kind of feel this a minute and see what they like.
If I say I'm going downtown, don't mean I'm cheating, baby, or messing around. Not to worry, I won't be long. My word is my bond. If I'm out.
So, you know, in pieces like that... I'm just curious, coming back to your history, how you and your brother started this, where it really began back in 63 and how you came together.
Well, actually, we started before 63, but in 63, we came together actually as a group called Seville, the Sevilles.
Sevilles, right.
And then we moved to the Holmes brothers. But my brother came to New York in 59 to play with a guy by the name of Jimmy Jones, who had a big, big hit record called Handyman. Since that time, James Taylor, Aretha Franklin, Carly Simon, a lot of people have done it, but it was a hit. It was a crossover hit.
Did he write the song?
Jimmy Jones wrote the
song. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yes, he did.
Right.
And when I graduated from high school, my brother came and got me and put me with Jimmy Jones, and I thought I was a star for a little while, and that's how we got to New York.
And where did the name Seville's come from?
You know, that beats the hell out of me. I think my brother came up with that name.
It wasn't the Cadillac.
No, it wasn't the Cadillac. No.
Just checking.
No.
Could be,
yeah, but not that time.
That's true. So, I mean, when you began, I mean, what was your... Because in the late 50s, early 60s, we were going from doo-wop to R&B and soul was being born as a style of music. So how did you see yourself fitting into all that?
Well, you know what? I say then and I say now, to play music, I didn't play music to be famous or popular. I played music because I had the fire in my belly. And even now, some of my most, some of my best times are just sitting in my house, singing with my family, my daughters, my wife, my grandchildren. So it's the fire in the belly. But in the 50s and 60s, I knew I wanted to be a musician. And behind playing with Jimmy Jones and my brother Sherman, who's 4 years older, the opportunity came about.
And you know, it's a tough road to hoe to make a living as a musician.
It is.
But you did it.
It is. Well, pardon me. I guess maybe we weren't smart enough to stop when we were younger, so we kept on, and God has been good.
But now you've recorded. I'm curious that you've recorded. I'm looking at this list of people that you've recorded with. Mm-hmm. That's just unbelievable. Van Morrison, Peter mm-hmm. Gabriel, Odetta, Phoebe Snow, Willie Nelson, Fred Roulette, yes. Roseanne Cash, Yvonne Helm, mm-hmm. I mean that's a pretty amazing list. Jerry Butler,
absolutely.
John Lee Hooker,
absolutely.
Right,
all of those guys. That's right.
Now, how did that come about?
Well, you know, in the early days when we were the Sevilles, we used to play at a place called Gibson's in Long Island, and Long Island, New York. And they had all the acts on a Thursday night that were at the Apollo Theater during the week. Thursday night was an off night for the Apollo. So they had all the acts like Jerry Butler, the Impressions, Shep in the Limelight.
Shep in the Limelight.
Yeah, all those guys. So we had a chance to, we were the house band. So we had a chance to play with all those people.
You were the house band, okay.
Yeah, so that was a great thing for us.
So how did they end up at that club, all these guys?
You know what? The club had some kind of contract with the Apollo that on Thursday nights they would send those acts to Gibson's. And that was a big deal because people came from miles and miles around to see Shep and the Limelights and Jerry Butler and Impressions.
Was it a black-owned club?
It was a black-owned club, yeah. Uh-huh. And very successful club. Now, I think they tore it down maybe 20 years ago.
Like they did the Royal Theater in Baltimore, which
Royal
was a crime.
In Baltimore.
Did you ever play the Royal?
I have. Many times back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s. And you brought in a drummer, Popsy Dixon.
Popsy Dixon, we call him our secret weapon. He's a great, great vocalist, great drummer. And you don't find many drummers that sing. You find many guitar players,
right?
Many bass players, but very few drummers that can sing and play well. And he's one of the few. He's really phenomenal.
Because when you're jamming in a band, it's hard, I guess, you know, the drummer's moving.
Yeah, it's hard
for him to get into the rhythm of singing, or she, while they're drumming.
I think it's because he was a singer first in the church.
Okay.
So
in the church.
Pentecostal church.
If we didn't have the church, where would our music
be? Where would our music be?
Right?
Absolutely right.
You know, and the old saying, we were talking about this the other day, that every church has its Jerry Butler, every church has its Aretha Franklin, every church does.
Everyone does, yes.
I mean, it's, you know, I think that there's something about music and singing that is kind of cleansing and therapeutic.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I often say, and it's true, that music is therapy. If I never made a dollar, I would still play music. I love it.
Right.
It's therapy. I can sit down at home on my acoustic piano, sit down feeling sad, and get up feeling glad. So that's a good thing, you know?
No, it is. I mean, I think that's the reason why, you know, people often label your music, though I think it pigeonholes it too badly because you're broader than that, as roots music.
As roots music, absolutely.
Right, right. But roots music, when it comes to the music that came out of the black world in America, is our roots music.
It is our roots music.
And, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And it's not only black music.
Right.
I have to tell you that I'm a big country fan, and one of my favorite genres of music is bluegrass.
I love bluegrass, too.
I play a lot of country, but I have not mastered that bluegrass music yet, but I love it. So when we say roots music, it's Americana. And we call it Southern roots music, you know? So it's a good thing. It's just not a black thing. It's an American thing.
Right. And the South has really defined
yes, sir.
A lot of what our music is about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Without Memphis, New Orleans, and New York.
That's right. And where would we be?
Where would we be? So, you know, you've won so many awards. Blues Music Award from the Blues Foundation, mm. Band of the Year, 2005, Soul Blues, yes. Album of the Year, 2008. And awards before that. And I think that's not amazing, but it's really interesting that given the years you've been around, mm-hmm. that you're still playing music, you're still jamming, you're still winning awards.
Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. you never stopped. But the fact that you're still getting awards.
You know, we were very fortunate this year. Just 2 weeks ago, we won the NEA Award, the National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship. Yeah. And it was a big deal down at the Library of Congress, and it was just a good thing. So we're very fortunate and blessed to be still winning awards.
Yeah, you should be winning awards. No, it is. I mean, I'm just so excited that you're actually going to be playing tonight at the Creative Alliance.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to come out tonight, guys, and see us at the Patterson.
That's it. At the Patterson Theater, which is where the Creative Alliance is, and that's at 8 p.m. tonight. And Brooks Long is playing?
Yeah, he's going to let him do a few songs with me. He's a great guy.
So coming back to kind of your history, I mean, I oftentimes when people play together,
yes.
there's going to be a lot of tension inside of a band. People break up, they split, they hate each other, brothers walk away, sisters, brothers walk away.
That's true.
But not y'all.
Well, you know what? We are very fortunate in that aspect because I put it as it's because we love each other. And we've been through the ups and downs of the music world, ups and downs in life, sickness, death, health. And one thing we say is we never share rums. If you never share rums, it cuts down on a lot of hassle.
Just like every home with a man who needs to have two bathrooms.
That's right. Same thing, absolutely.
Cuts down a lot of houses.
Yeah.
Really?
It's amazing.
That's probably the reason I have two bathroom houses.
You got to have two bathrooms, at least. So, at least.
So I'm curious, what was it like to play with people like Van Morrison?
Well, you know, we did a thing with Van Morrison. We recorded a song called That's Where It's At with Van Morrison over in England at Peter Gabriel's studio. And everybody was saying that Van was so difficult to work with.
Yeah, right. You hear that all the time.
Very difficult to work with. And we were in between doing some recordings, and we were kind of jamming. And I never forget he called us. He didn't call us the Holmes Brothers. He called us the Homeless Brothers.
Why did he do that?
He said, I think I can work with these Homeless Brothers. And we went right in the studio and recorded, and it came out well.
Hey, Dick, I know that song.
Yeah, it's great.
You didn't take offense to being called the Homeless
Brothers? No, I didn't. He didn't mean any harm.
So you also, I really want to talk to you about some of the people you worked with and come back to your own work.
Okay.
But one of my favorite people of all time, from when I first saw him at the Newport Blues Festival back in 63, I think it was, is John Lee Hooker.
Oh, yeah, John Lee. Well, you know what? John Lee Hooker, working with him, we worked with him maybe a couple years before he died, but we worked with him 30 or 40 years ago back in this place called Gibson's.
Oh, back on Long Island again.
Back in Long Island because he was an Apollo act, and he came with his boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And going to shoot you right down.
Right.
And boom, he was just boom, a great boom, guy. Boom. And the thing about John Lee Hooker was, when you listen to his music, it seems like he plays only one chord, boom, 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 boom. But he was a very accomplished guitar player. I mean, he could play other things, but he'd always say to me, well, why change what I'm doing when I'm making money, you know?
But he's another one who was rediscovered by America.
Absolutely.
Back in the 60s.
After many years of...
Right. And kept playing. He, as y'all, was able to kind of play with some of the greatest musicians on the planet.
Absolutely.
And create his music until he drew his last breath.
Yeah,
he was still making music.
That's right. Exactly right. And he was one of my favorites of all time.
It'd be like the Holmes Brothers. You're not going to stop playing until...
Well, you know what? I don't plan to stop playing. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I plan to keep on playing as long as I possibly can. Yes.
So let's play another piece for the Holmes Brothers here. What should we throw up there? We were talking about Soldier of Love.
Yeah,
let's say a little bit of Soldier of Love.
That song is featuring Brother Popsy Dixon, and you will hear his great falsetto and his great drumming and all of that combined together. It's a great tune.
The left a soldier of love in your heart. And when you walk through this wicked world.
So with that, this is another little piece of what the Holmes Brothers can bring and what you're going to see on Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Creative Alliance over at the Patterson Theater. You can go to creativealliance.org. You don't want to miss this.
Don't miss it.
It's going to be a good night.
It's going to be a great, awesome night. That's what my grandson says. It's awesome.
That's that generation's word, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly.
I never say awesome.
Me either. New generation.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, that's the thing that a lot of older folks have to remember. That we were all young.
We all
had a thing the old people did not like.
That's true. That's so true.
Just leave them be. It all comes around.
I see the kids today walking around with their pants coming.
You're right.
I can't get my head around that. I don't understand that. But I guess that's a big part of being young, you know.
Part of being young is just to be in your face, right?
Absolutely, in your face.
That's what people do.
Yeah.
So how often do you two get together to play, the three of you get together to play? How often do you jam?
We play very often. As a matter of fact, we just did this thing at the Library of Congress last week. And the week before that, we did Charlottesville, Virginia, mentoring a young girl singer from our church in Virginia. And this next week, we go to Richmond Folk Festival. And then 2 days later, we go to Europe for a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you going to play in Europe?
Austria, Germany, Switzerland, Slovenia,
wow,
and Norway.
Mm-hmm. What is it like? I'm curious what it's like for you just traveling the world and seeing.
You know, we've been traveling for so many, many
you
years.
Have.
We go to Europe at least once a year.
I have been doing it for a long time.
For a long, 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 long time. The difference is, I think, that here people kind of take your music for granted. There they really appreciate it. Not that they don't appreciate it here.
Right.
But they appreciate it in a different way. They applaud. It's I don't know how to explain it. It's just a different thing. Even the radio stations, they are not designated radio stations like it is in the States. There's no such thing as a blues station.
Uh-huh.
A rhythm and blues station.
Gotcha.
Classical music and blues, rhythm and blues, will all be playing on the same, you know, station. One tune after another. And I think that's a good thing. So people appreciate music.
So, you know, I'm curious how you think the music industry has changed and how it's changed your lives from the time when you started doing club dates, which you still do, and doing the tours, but from albums, from 33s to,
yeah,
to tapes to CDs, and now people downloading online. How's that affected your world?
Our world, it has affected it some. It has affected the bigger artists more than it has affected the smaller artists like us, because we have always sold CDs from the bandstand. You know, we always only got so much airplay, so it has not affected us as much as it has affected the bigger players. Downloading music, I call it stealing. Downloading music from the artists has hurt the music industry big time. For us, it has hurt us a little bit, but not as much as it could have.
So you don't you get some piece of it if I go to iTunes or someplace and download?
Yeah, a very small.
A very small, huh?
Very small part of it. But the thing is, you getting it and then letting your friends download it for free.
That's where it is.
You know what I'm talking about. There's no more record stores anymore.
No more flipping through the records.
No, that's right. No more
that.
Most of our records are either on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and a lot of other artists the same way.
I'm curious about it, because it doesn't stop you from playing. You keep on jamming, keep on working in that.
Well, you know, you always have your own audience. If you've been playing a long time like we have, every artist has its audience.
Right.
So if you keep producing and performing to the best of your ability, your audience will come out and see you. So that's a good thing for us. They still come see us.
So you have a new album out, right?
It's called Brotherhood, yes.
Now, I've not heard that one yet, but I'm sorry to say, but I'm going
okay.
to. So what's on this new album?
This new album is more rootsy, back to the blues, more so than our other albums. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of our best, if not the best, that we've ever done.
Really?
Because, you know, as you get older, you have more experience, you learn subtleties of playing and singing and choosing songs. So I think it's one of our better albums.
Yeah, I was thinking about a guy who passed away recently who was a great old blues man who began to mix genres and played with his son a lot, who was more of a rap artist. It was R.L. Burnside.
R.L. Burnside, yes. Sir. He has some grandchildren that are so great.
Yeah.
He has, I forget his grandson that plays the drums and guitar. I worked with him recently. They are so good. Cedric Burnside.
Cedric.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. They are so good. And R.L. Burnside was a special guy.
You knew him well?
I did not know him well. I'd met him a couple of times, but he was a great artist.
He was a great artist.
Great artist.
I mean, I just...
Never got his proper due.
I agree. Never did. I mean, I think he was one of the best, absolutely, one of the most original blues artists.
Absolutely.
Around.
Man. And had his very unique in his style. And
right, right. The way he approached the music was
absolutely,
very different.
Absolutely.
Is there anybody that you all have not played with you want to play with before it's all over?
Well, when Jesus come back, I hope he let me jam with him. I hope.
He comes back, I'm sure he's going to let you jam with him. I have no question about that. Mm-hmm. He'll probably play the bass.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I hope.
So who's going to be playing with you on Saturday night?
Friday.
I mean Friday, excuse me, Friday.
Well, it's my brother Sherman, my brother Popsy Dixon, and Mr. Brooks Long, who we have been jamming together at my house and doing some things together for the state of Maryland, actually. So I'm going to have him there doing two or three or four songs with us.
You guys
got to come out. Don't miss this show.
No, you don't want to miss this show. The Holmes Brothers, you know, they don't come around often. I mean,
it's
they have a busy schedule. When was the last time you played Baltimore?
I can't remember. Maybe two or three years ago. I played last year up in Rosedale. I can't think of the name of the place.
Is it a place in Rosedale?
Yeah, it was like an armory or something. But it was nice.
I never heard music in Rosedale before, so that's nice to hear that there's something going on. So,
absolutely.
Let's play a little something here. What should we go out with? A little bit of... how about Driving the Driving Rain? You want to do that one?
Already, yeah, let's do it.
A little bit of that.
I'm driving in the driving rain.
So here, still with the Holmes, well, at least one of them, Wendell Holmes, who lives right here in Baltimore and grew up in Christchurch, Virginia. Brotherhood is your 11th album.
It's our 11th album.
And you've been jamming for...
Forever.
Forever, man.
Forever, man. That's true.
Really?
We've been very fortunate.
I mean, 50 years?
Yeah, at least 50. We've been so fortunate.
Probably more.
About 50, at least 50.
See, at least... It's called,
at least
there.
50 years, yeah.
And you don't want to miss this. This is a rare performance. Both brothers are here. Or they wouldn't be the Holmes Brothers.
Right. That's right.
And the trio's playing tonight.
Tonight.
At the Creative Alliance, at the Patterson Theater, over in Highlandtown. And just go to creativealliance.org or just show up.
Show up.
Show starts at 8, get there early, have a drink, have something to eat, hang out. There's a bar and restaurant there.
And have a good time.
Have a good time. Well, it's been a pleasure and an honor to meet you.
Thank you, Mark. My pleasure,
Thank
sir.
You so much.
Okay.
Check them out tonight, 8 o'clock, Creative Alliance.
Driving in the driving rain.